Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I have just had the honor of being interviewed by a Columbus, Ohio radio talk show host, Coach Dave Dobemeyer. He's the head of a group called Minutemen United, and he's a wonderful Christian leader, pro-life activist, and he watched the Focus on the Strategy DVD that we have done analyzing legal positivism and how Christian pro-life leaders have actually adopted moral relativism in their worldview for laws and judges and courtroom decisions. So he watched it. He was just struck by how important it is, and he interviewed me. Now, I'd like to play that interview for you uninterrupted. So let's go now to Coach Dave Dobemeyer's show in Columbus, Ohio.
Welcome back to Pass the Salt with Coach Dave Dobemeyer Radio, like you hardly ever hear it, unless, of course, you happen to be in Denver, Colorado, where you have the chance to listen to Bob Enyart Live. And joining us by phone right now is Pastor Bob Enyart, the host of Bob Enyart Live in Denver, Colorado, pastor of the Denver Bible Church.
Now let's fast forward to a little later in the broadcast.
I could give you a quote from a letter from Focus on the Family to one of the elders of Denver Bible Church. This is after, let's see, we went down to Focus on the Family. I presented, but our whole elder board was there. It was really a great meeting. We got a letter from Ross Marshall, who's in the office of the president at Focus on the Family. This is also on our website at KGov, dated January 9th, 2006. And Ross Marshall writes on Focus on the Family letterhead, he writes, as Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. Recently, however, Dr. Dobson felt he was faced with a necessity, this is just devastating, Coach, of changing his mind. Dr. Dobson, I'm quoting, rightly or wrongly, he chose to compromise his own standard. He believes God has led him in this direction. That's on Focus on the Family letterhead. We scan that, and people have been devastated to read these things. And the reason Dr. Dobson is doing this is because they've dug in and they are committed to the process instead of being committed to God's enduring command, do not murder. The process is okay if it doesn't conflict with do not murder, do not steal, and do not commit adultery. Then the process is fine.
What's happened is, Pastor Bob, I've talked to many lawyers, and they're very honest. And many of the lawyers that we send through law schools today tell me they never study the Constitution. They go over very, very briefly, but they never do. And then we see these blowhards in Washington and our elected officials talk about defending the Constitution, and our court system is so far removed from what their constitutional responsibility is supposed to be.
Well, that's true, but, you know, it goes even back further. As you know, you just referenced this, Coach Dave, just minutes ago. Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution counted most blacks as three-fifths of a person.
Right.
And that was tragic. I recently reread the Dred Scott decision you referenced a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
And when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, was that the 1850s? They ruled that blacks could be owned as property, and they went back and did a summary of all the laws against blacks when the Constitution was written and adopted. And there were laws that said, for example, that it is a crime to teach a black person how to read and write. There were wicked racist laws. And so tragically, some of what went into America early on was sinful. Some of it was sinful. But what is not sinful in any country at any time through history is God's enduring commands. Do not murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. By the way, that's perjury. So God has revealed for all the world the foundation of a criminal justice system, which we need to be experts on. And we need to be able to explain to Christians and unbelievers that God had certain ceremonial and symbolic laws for Israel, like you had to circumcise and your clothing had to be of pure fiber because it symbolized the Messiah would be pure and he would be cut off in the flesh. But the criminal code that God has revealed, that is enduring. For example, the death penalty goes back to Noah. That's centuries before Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not Jewish ceremonial law that says you put to death a convicted murderer or kidnapper. That's the criminal code that God has affirmed.
Pastor Bob, there was a great clip on your DVD that you produced that had Spencer Tracy and was it Burt Lancaster from the trials at Nuremberg?
Yes.
A powerful, powerful.
Yeah, Burt Lancaster and Spencer Tracy. Yeah. That's right. The movie is Justice at Nuremberg.
Oh my!
And it is, talk about setting up this DVD. You watch this clip. And this German judge was just convicted, and he wants to see the American judge. The American judge, Spencer Tracy, comes down into his cell, and the German judge says, "You must believe me. I never thought it would come to this, the millions slaughtered in the Holocaust." And Spencer Tracy said, "The moment you sentenced an innocent man to die, that is when it came to this."
Mm-hmm. The slippery slope from the time he made the first bad decision based on whatever it was, pressure, whatever.
To intentionally kill an innocent person is so evil that when a judge or a governing official does that, he is not only guilty for that murder, but all the subsequent devastation that comes along. When Tom Minnery saw that clip, it's part of the whole presentation, he said, "That was powerful. That was powerful." The sad thing is he's now switched sides. He now disagrees with Spencer Tracy. He disagrees that it's wrong for a judge to intentionally rule to kill the innocent.
You know, Bob, I was on your website yesterday, and I read something that was really kind of profounding. Dr. Job Dobson, he'd written a nice letter, and then at the bottom in his own writing, in his own handwriting, he made an appeal or really kind of, I hate to say whining, but he was kind of whining, saying, "Why are you attacking me? I've been on the front lines of this for 30 years. I've done as much as I could. I've done more than other
right.
people. Why are you attacking me?" Obviously, Pastor Bob, he feels a little bit of conviction on this whole issue, doesn't he?
Yes, and they have responded. In fact, they've written articles now on their website and in Citizen Magazine in direct response to our exposing when they affirm legal positivism in judges like Samuel Alito. And our response to Dr. Dobson, and it's right there, right under his handwritten note, is that we have constantly expressed love for James Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
Not only love, but respect. And undoubtedly, James Dobson has brought more people to the Lord than I ever will, even if I live to be 1,000.
Amen.
And I do love and respect him. But just like Paul respected Peter, but Peter had to be confronted in Galatians 2 because he was not being truthful about the gospel, as Paul wrote. And just as we love one another, we have an obligation to warn one another when we are compromising on do not murder.
Pastor Bob, we're getting ready to run to a break here. And if you would, just take about a minute, make a plug for this DVD, where people can get them, how much they cost, because for what it's worth, I give a wholehearted endorsement to this thing. It opened my eyes up, and I'm going to get, like I said, I'm going to get them. I know 100 people that need to view that DVD.
Well, I'm so very thankful, Coach, for that endorsement. And our goal is to get it out to a lot of people. So we make 25 copies of this Focus on the Strategy. I think I could say it's pretty well put together.
Oh my goodness!
Right, it's powerful to watch. It's somewhat entertaining, but it's also devastating.
Mm-hmm.
It's riveting. It's an hour DVD, 25 copies for $99.95.
In other words, you get $4 a piece, you give them a DVD.
$4 each. If that's too much money for somebody to spend, 10 copies for $49.95.
Every pastor in America ought to see this, Pastor.
Yeah, and it should be in church libraries. And 3 copies for $19.95. And if somebody doesn't have that much, 1 copy for $9.95. So our goal is to get it out. We have now sold about 1,300 of these, and we are very excited that when people who have never heard of Bob Inert Live, when they watch this, they are riveted. They realize that the body of Christ has lost its way, and we need to commit ourselves to honoring God and his enduring command, do not murder.
Coach Dave Dobenmeyer with Pastor Bob Inyart from Denver Bible Church. Got to run to a break. Can you give me one more segment, Pastor?
Yes, sure. And by the way, you get that at our website, kgov.com, or by calling us at 800-8-NYART. That's 800-836-9278.
Folks, I tell you, go to the website. Check out, first of all, Bob has got, oh, brother, on your website, it's like you need to spend a month on there. But some of the downloads that you can put on there of conversations you've had with people are truly, truly eye-opening.
Right at the top of the website is a list of some of the riveting debates we've had with Christian leaders on this very topic.
Well, let's run to a break. We get back from this break, we're going to, Pastor, I'm going to try to set you, I don't know, set you up, or I'm going to try to knock you down here. What do we do from here? I think,
all
you
right.
know, a lot of us are pointing fingers. This guy's the fault. This guy's the fault. This guy's messing up. That guy's messing up. Well, it's time for us to come in here. Let's get us a huddle. Let's figure out which direction we go from here. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer passing the salt, and we'll be right back. Oh, man, I'm going to get me some of those things. Those are powerful, buddy.
Well, thank
you. My daughter just graduated from Hillsdale College. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh, Hillsdale, yeah. One of the two that they don't take government money.
I have got to get a copy to somebody at Hillsdale College to see that thing.
Oh, man, that would be exciting.
Everybody's fallen into that trap.
Everyone is. All conservatives have become legal positivists. In America, Coach, I mean all, as in 99%+.
Here we go, buddy. Three. Well, I don't know what you think. I've been listening to Pastor Bob Inyart from the Denver Bible Church and Bob Inyart Live. I've been listening to him for a little over an hour. My head just spins. I just look at the culture. Look where we are. Look how far we have deviated from truth. You know, Pastor Bob, the Bible tells us very clearly that judgment begins first in the house of God. And this is really not... This is not a sinner problem. This is not a problem with the abortionists. This is not a problem with the homosexuals. This is not a problem with those who are out there living pagan lifestyles. This whole mess that we see in America falls directly in the lap of the church.
Yes, that's right. And we are responsible for our own sin when we don't obey God and we don't trust God. So when Dr. James Dobson said he would never again vote for any politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child. In fact, we play him making that pledge in front of 100,000 pro-lifers in Washington, D.C. That's in this DVD. Now, we say that all Christian leaders should take Dobson's pledge, and they should evaluate everything they do, their projects, their slogans, their campaigns, to make them consistent with that pledge that I will never support any law or ruling or campaign that is willing to kill an innocent child. Now, that will teach us to honor God and obey God. And then they are asked, for example, a spokesperson at Focus on the Family was asked back when John Roberts was nominated. And they were asked, well, what does he believe about abortion? And this Carrie Gordon Earle, she said, well, we're not so much concerned about his position on abortion as we are about his commitment to the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the process then is partial birth abortion is legal and she gets her kind of judge, her judge will keep partial birth abortion legal.
Is that what they mean by strict constructionist, Pastor?
Tragically, yes. Tragic.
That's not what I think or the average person thinks when they hear that term.
Well, that's true. But the sad thing is, what we've done, I've documented on the air for 15 years, when Christians talk about their right to keep arms and bear arms,
yeah,
they almost only call it a Second Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk, even in Jackson, Mississippi, they were talking about their right to free speech, they call it their First Amendment right. What that means is the whole Christian worldview has been changed to exactly what we were afraid of, and our Christian leaders and the masses, the rank and file, they act and speak as though their rights come from the Constitution.
Oh, my.
They don't. We know that our rights come from God, yet we can't speak of our free speech right without calling it a First Amendment right.
I see where you're going. So the First Amendment, rather than us saying we're standing on our First Amendment rights, the First Amendment right was to put an out to restrain government.
Well, that's true, and it's my free speech right. And if I'm talking to a knucklehead who doesn't know that that's in the in the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, I could point that out. But my point is Christians only call it their First Amendment right, and they only call it their Second Amendment right. We are conditioning ourselves to believe the humanist that all our rights come from the Constitution. They come from the government. We have to step back one step and say all of our rights come from God. All legal principles come from God. We first need to be experts on God and His law, and then we have to make sure that the Constitution is consistent with God's law. If there's a contrast or a conflict between God's law and the Constitution, then God's law is right, and that's what our judges should affirm.
See, Pastor Bob, when I was down in Jackson, Mississippi, as you were down there for a couple of days, the treatment by the police officers down there was really something to watch. But here's what really, really concerns me. Somewhere along the line, Pastor, and I think it has to do with this legal positivism that you're speaking about, somewhere along the line, they went from peace officers to law enforcement officers.
Right.
And I try to make people understand or help people to understand that if martial law is ever declared in this nation, for whatever reason it might be, another terrorist attack, whatever, let your mind run wild, it's not going to be very hard for you or me to conceive the police locking down on people, denying people their constitutional rights. Oh, I shouldn't even use that. I got to think of that right now.
Yeah, that's right, Coach. Yeah. It's before the Constitution was written or before it was ratified, Americans still had rights.
Uh-huh.
And their rights didn't just come into existence in 1789.
Oh, that's great.
Their rights were there the day before the Constitution was ratified, and those rights belong to people all over the world. In Canada, you can't broadcast that the Bible says that homosexuality is a perversion. So people are losing their rights around the world, and one reason is because we have deceived ourselves into getting close to the humanist and saying rights come from the government. Rights come from the Constitution. They don't. So when we have what we've done is we've become experts at the Constitution, and we've put God in the back of the bus.
Did you ever see the movie Cool Hand Luke?
No.
Oh, you need to see that movie. But one of my favorites in there is Luke is a prisoner, and he's a radical prisoner, free-spirited prisoner, keeps trying to escape and everything. Well, they keep punishing him, and they put him in the box at night. One night after they've really beat him down just about as much as they could, and they're putting him into the box for the night. One of the prison guards, one of the boss men, as he puts the Luke's bathroom bucket in there, he says, "Sorry, Luke, just doing my job." And Cool Hand Luke looks at the boss man and says, "Well, boss, calling it your job don't make it right."
Whoa.
That's where we are in America today, isn't it, Pastor?
That's absolutely perfect. So, you know, God says through James, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss.
Uh-huh.
And we are asking for judges who will follow the process. That's all our Christian leaders have the courage to say publicly. We should be saying we want judges who fear God and will protect the innocent.
Mm.
But our national Christian leaders will not say that, even though in the Bible God presents the qualifications for judges, and they are men who fear God and will do right. So that's what we should say. But our Christian leaders, they won't even say that. They think that is somehow too humiliating, or it's not politically suave or sophisticated.
Are they misinformed, uninformed? Are they cowards? What's going on, Pastor?
I believe part of it is lust. It's lust. It's covetousness.
Uh-huh.
We want to win. You know how people get almost insane for the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup playoffs? That kind of competitive spirit, which is fun. We love those things in my family.
Right.
That kind of competitive spirit is also in politics. And the pro-life leader Christians, they want to win. They want to beat the liberals. They want to beat the Democrats. And they're far more committed to beating a liberal in any particular cloture vote or whatever than they are to staying true to God's word.
Standing for truth, whether they win or not, is certainly admirable, but they seem to have lost that perspective and it becomes about winning.
Yeah, I talked to the number one pro-life mover and shaker in Mississippi while we were down there, had a meeting with her, And I was pointing out that we have to honor God and obey God. And she was saying, well, how about when a judge does what's right and then he gets kicked off the bench? She said, we want to get more and more influence. And I gave her the story of Daniel, who was one of the three governors over the whole empire. And he's about to be promoted to the head over the entire empire. Now, that's a lot of political power.
Sure is.
And a law was given for 30 days. You could not pray to any god other than the king. And Daniel, he decided, I'm going to pray to my God. I'm going to violate that law, and I'm going to do it with my windows open in front of my window so that my enemies will see that I'm breaking the law, but I'm obeying God. And our Christian pragmatist today would say, Daniel, don't do that. You're about to get a big promotion. We need you in that higher position. Think of all the good you can do. But Daniel threw away all those pragmatic considerations, and Daniel said, I'm going to honor God and obey God and risk the consequences. And because Daniel did that, God's love for Daniel is extraordinary, and he helped to change the history of the world.
You know what we need to do, Pastor? This just came to me. I'm a sports fan. I know that you love sports, too. I used to love to play a lot of baseball, and I think about a guy like Billy Martin, and when he used to manage the Yankees, and Lou Piniella when he used to manage several different places. Everybody used to love to come and watch Lou Piniella or Billy Martin throw a fit when an umpire missed a call.
Lou Piniella with the Mets.
Yeah, he would throw the base. He would throw bats out of it, everything, and everybody would. The cameras would stay on him because they loved the fact that this guy was outraged that he had gotten the raw end of the deal.
Right.
Well, Pastor, when is the last time we saw Christian leaders throw a fit when the Supreme Court handed down some ungodly, anti-Christ agenda? Why are we not out there throwing bats and throwing bases and really, really living out our outrage?
Yeah, where are the Daniels? Where are the Peters who will say, we will not obey that evil law. We must obey God rather than men. Instead, from our greatest Christian leaders, with one voice, they are telling our young Christian kids going into law school, they're telling them, you must obey man rather than God. You must follow the process.
Jay Sekulow is one of the worst of that, isn't he, Pastor Bob?
He is absolutely one of the worst. He is fully committed to legal positivism. A man like Alberto Gonzalez, who's a radical child killer. George W. Bush got Gonzalez on the Texas Supreme Court. He ended up being the chief Texas Supreme Court justice. I don't think he ever met a baby he wouldn't vote to kill. And then Bush moved to Washington as the president, and he brought Alberto Gonzalez as his chief White House counsel. Then the first opening on the Supreme Court, Bush wanted to put Alberto Gonzalez on the Supreme Court for a life term.
Wow.
But thankfully, there was so much outrage at that he didn't do it. But he wanted to.
Pastor Bob, what's it going to take?
It's going to take our Christian leaders acknowledging that we must obey God rather than man. And they're going to be resistant, so we need to become experts on right and wrong, and we need to teach our Sunday school leaders and our pastors and our national leaders the difference between right and wrong.
Ooh, that's a challenge, isn't it, my friend?
Yeah, it really is. And Coach Dave, that's one reason we produce this DVD. It's not to make money. 25 of these for $99.95, that's awfully close to cost and a little bit of overhead. And then people can watch this. They'll be riveted, and then they begin to share them with others.
Mm-hmm.
And we need this from the grassroots, the ground up, for Christians to teach our leaders that we must obey God, his enduring command, do not murder. That trumps every other legal and political consideration.
Give us that website and again and your phone number, Pastor.
It's KGov, and gov because of government, and K because radio stations west of the Mississippi start with the letter K. So KGOV, KGov.com, and it's an 800 phone number, 800-8-ENYART. That's my last name, E-N-Y-A-R-T. But 800-836-9278. 836-9278.
Pastor Bob, we got just about 3 minutes left. A couple questions I want to ask you. A personal question. What led you, Pastor, What led you to the theology that you now hold? I guess that's
that is a great truth. Question.
What has separated you from so many of the clergy?
Separated? I would call it dividing. The Apostle Paul wrote that we must rightly divide the word of truth, otherwise we will be ashamed when we see the Lord. And that's because in the Bible, God changed the rules. First, when Cain murdered Abel, God said, do not execute him. And then 1,600 years later, after the flood, God said, now execute every murderer. Men shall do it. God in the Bible changed the rules. At one point, he said, you have to circumcise a male child 8 days of age. Otherwise, you're not one of my covenant people. Then the Apostle Paul said, don't circumcise. If you do, you're cursed. In other words, some of the laws have changed, and God changed those laws for very important reasons. And if we ignore the fact that God changed over time the dietary law and symbolic ordinances, then we don't understand the story of the Bible. And when it comes to affirming one law or another, or one punishment or another, we're confused. We don't know what God's word says about how should you punish a perjurer. We don't know as the body of Christ, so we don't have anything solid to offer. So we need to become experts at God's word and what laws apply to nations, what laws were symbolic only for Israel, and then what laws apply to every nation in the world. We need to be able to rightly divide to understand that. Then we have the solid foundation of do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Those are the four of the Ten Commandments that are the foundation of a criminal justice system. So when you know God's word, you become stronger in your ability to show the way.
So, Pastor Bob, you have your own radio program in Denver. I know that you're probably getting ready to do it in a while. Are
That's
we able
right.
to pick that thing up live, Pastor?
Well, you can on the internet at KGov, KGOV.com.
Every afternoon?
5 days a week. Well, 5 o'clock Eastern time and 6 o'clock Eastern time live. But the programs are archived, and at the very top, there are shows related to this very issue. A debate interview I recently had with Ann Coulter, and we go through this with many Christian leaders. It's really extraordinary. There's a show, Bob and Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt was on the floor of the Republican convention in New York City, and what a debate we had on what's happening to the body of Christ.
They love to just write you off, don't they, Pastor? But they have a hard time dealing with that truth.
Well, we keep kicking, and if we honor God, then the results we are not responsible for, but we're responsible for our obedience to God. And we've been on the air for 15 years, Coach Dave, and doing the same thing 5 days a week all this time. And we have many people around the country who are in agreement and working. They're little beachheads to try to get people to understand God's word and how God's word should influence government.
Pastor Bob Inyart, Denver Bible Church, www.kgov.com. Lots of information there. Pastor Bob, I appreciate you being with us. I love your heart. I love how clarifying you are to the battle. And, brother, I just pray the blessings of the Lord upon you as you continue to push forward to divide the word of truth, that we might be able to somehow rescue this nation from the perilous times that certainly look like they're laying before us.
Coach Dave Dobemeyer, Minutemen United. Praise the Lord for you guys.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks. Folks, we'll see you next week. This is Coach Dave Dobemeyer passing the salt. God bless you. All right, Pastor, thanks a lot, man. It's awesome.
All right, Coach.
And keep after. I'm going to get me a bunch of those CDs. So I'm going to go home, get on the internet, and get some ordered.
All right, that's very exciting. And every time we get an order, it boosts the whole staff at our office.
All right, buddy.
So it'll help us. Thanks.
Okay. God bless you.
Bye, Coach.
Bye-bye.
All right. I wish I could just give the coach a bunch of copies. Maybe there's somebody out there. If I gave the coach a bunch of copies for free, the office manager, Al Sharon, he'd fire me. Because we just need the revenue to pay the bills and stay on the air. But maybe there's somebody out there who says, you know, I could use 2 or 3, but send 25 to Coach and I'll pay for it. Because Coach has a ministry just like we do. He pays for airtime, and it's rough to raise the funds just to pay the bills and stay on the air. So if there's somebody out there who wants to do that, feel free. You could make a donation of Bob and Yurt Live, and we'll send an appropriate number of DVDs to Coach Dave Dobemeyer so he could distribute even more than those that he's going to buy. Or better yet, buy some Focus on the Strategy DVDs and first watch one, of course, and then share them with neighbors and friends and get them into your church library. That would be just great. Okay, we are going to take a break, and we will be right back. This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back to Bob Inyart Live, where we expose the liberal in the conservative. That's our gig here at Bob Inyart Live, trying to find the liberal in the conservative. Those who listen to Bob Inyart Live don't always get to hear the sermons from the pulpit of Denver Bible Church. I hope you'll enjoy this.
You all know about the Christian cliches that our church has combated from the day that we were planted. Cliches that are chanted like mantras without a thought given to their validity. Don't judge. Forgive everyone. There's no time in heaven. Don't call anyone a fool. God does not change. Hate the sin, love the sinner. All sins are equal. And there are even unwritten, unspoken cliches which nonetheless influence all Christians, like this one: God became nicer in the New Testament. Not only are these damaging to the ministry of the gospel, but some of them are even contradictory. For example, if you can't judge, then you can't forgive either, because forgiveness requires first making a judgment that someone has done wrong. So how could you not judge and you have to forgive everyone? That's contradictory. And there are millions of Christians who believe that God cannot change, and also that he became much nicer in the New Testament time. Now, how could that be? Denver Bible Church works to combat these dangerous falsehoods. And this week, after reading a short letter written by Don Wildman and his American Family Association, I've set out a new goal for myself: to do a better job educating the body of Christ about the misuse of forgiveness. The mission statement of Denver Bible Church declares four basic goals: to win people to Jesus, to disciple believers to become increasingly like Christ, to teach the Bible, and to train others to minister. Forgiveness is such a fundamental matter that misunderstanding or misusing forgiveness will hinder a church's ministry in all four of these areas. Evangelism: if you don't understand or you misuse forgiveness, it will hurt your efforts in evangelism, in discipleship, in Bible teaching, and training for the ministry. In the past, and continuing today, we've taken on widespread Christian misunderstandings, such as judge not and being soft on the death penalty. If you look around, you see right away we're not a mega church. In fact, we're not even a good sized church. We're a pipsqueak church as measured by size, but we carry a big stick. Yes, we fit in with the 90% of churches that have fewer than 100 members. And yes, if we continue to grow, then we may make a greater impact on our world. But think about our impact for our size. There are different ways to look at church impact. What percentage of all those small churches out there make as great an impact as does Denver Bible Church? If the average small church was a bit more like our peculiar church we have right here, then what would be the difference in the Christian community? Well, this is what I think. Millions of Christians would be able to answer the question that Billy Graham told George W. Bush after 9/11 that he could not answer, which was, why does God allow evil in the world? And millions of Christians would better be able to evangelize evolutionists and animal rights activists and liberals and atheists. There would be fewer abortions, and the public schools would be nearly empty. Marriages would be stronger and children happier. So now I'm suggesting that we put a bit more of a concerted effort into warning believers about the misuse of forgiveness. When I started in broadcast ministry in 1991, I heard no one, never any Christian leader, speaking up against the absurd judge not mentality that was paralyzing the body of Christ. Judge not was the only thing I heard when that was mentioned in public. Don't judge, you can't judge. Now I'm happy to report that it is common among Christian leaders for them to rebuke that notion and to say, as Christians, we are called to judge by Jesus Christ. Through 13 years, we have consistently taught men what Jesus taught them, to judge with righteous judgment, as he said in John 7:24. On TV for years in 80 cities, five nights a week, from Honolulu through New Orleans to Orlando, Florida, for years we taught Christians to judge until we were utterly sick and tired of the subject. And we could persevere only by the conviction that we were trying to prevent Christianity from becoming increasingly irrelevant. We sold over 1,500 t-shirts that said on them, "Judge rightly is not some guy's name." And we've printed and distributed over 100,000 Judge Rightly flyers, and people have downloaded hundreds of thousands of copies more. And on the death penalty, well, a week ago, I had the opportunity on Court TV for 8 minutes to defend Christian advocacy of the death penalty at the Scott Peterson trial, and to conclude with the point that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God the Father demanded death, the crucifixion, as the just punishment for man's crimes. I doubt that in the history of Court TV, such clear words were ever spoken regarding the valid foundation of a criminal justice system. That's probably the first time. And it's not that we could convince a hard-hearted talk show host like Lisa Bloom on Court TV in 8 minutes. That's not likely. Or the law professor or former prosecutor who was on the air at the same time opposing our call for execution. It's not likely that will happen. Oh, and by the way, while they were opposing the death penalty for all convicted murderers, they also somehow managed to mangle the Bible's teaching on the death penalty. And you know the real reason why we can't display the Ten Commandments in a courthouse? It has nothing to do with separation of church and state. You can't post prohibitions against stealing, adultery, and lying in a building full of politicians, judges, and lawyers. It creates a hostile work environment. We speak of the New Testament support for the death penalty, even on Court TV, because that's an opportunity to call out the truth as a clear signal, a beacon for those who are seeking the truth. And sure enough, our phones rang with calls from California to Florida and right here in Colorado, mostly with people thanking us for standing up for the truth. Even one call was from a stay-at-home mom not far from the courthouse in California who apparently was not even a Christian. And she was so thankful that someone went on the air and said something right that was good. And Pops mailed her off a DVD of our Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection. Because that's an opportunity, an open door. When you speak the truth, some people will respond and say, that's true. Thank you for saying that. And now we need to pray for her. If anyone remembers her name, we could remember to pray that that gal from California would become a Christian.
Sarah
from California, stay-at-home mom. Some years ago, oh, by the way, we've distributed thousands of copies of our New Testament support for the death penalty video over the years, 10 years, and hundreds of thousands of copies online and in print of our death penalty brochures. And some years ago, we initiated a campaign for our listeners to mail copies of our video, New Testament Support for the Death Penalty, to mail them to Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. And a few months after that, we began getting calls from, again, from around the country, from listeners who said, hey, it's exciting. Pat Robertson has turned a corner. He's now able to defend the death penalty from the New Testament, something that he had given up trying to do just a few months earlier. And we were thrilled to hear our verses one after another and our quotes of the New Testament, how to defend the death penalty on the 700 Club. Praise the Lord. Now, to the wonderful but sometimes frustrating American Family Association and the issue of forgiveness and my determination to spend the next 15 years, whatever it takes, warning Christians about the dangers of forgiveness. As you know, if you've fellowshipped at Denver Bible Church for any length of time, Jesus does not want us to forgive everyone automatically, but to forgive those who repent. We all know that, right? Do we have any visitors here, even one who can't quote the verse for us? Oh, we have one visitor. Okay. But other than one visitor who has an excuse, we all know the verse in which Jesus said that if someone sins against you, rebuke him. He didn't say forgive him. He said, if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And how does the rest of it go, anyone? Oh, Luke 17:3. If someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he repents. If Christians misuse the powerful gift of forgiveness and teach the world something false about God and salvation in the process, unbelievers are in big trouble. We have often talked about the plot, that is the story of the Bible, the difference between law and grace, Israel and the body. Well, the theme of the Bible, that's different than the plot, right? You have the plot and the theme. Most of us went to public schools, so we have no idea what these terms mean. But the theme of the Bible is salvation, God's love for man expressed through salvation. And salvation is all about forgiveness. And if you misrepresent or misuse forgiveness, then you misrepresent God and his salvation to the world. Forgiveness is not and never has been automatic. Forgiveness requires repentance. And to suggest otherwise will reinforce a damning notion. Millions of Americans reject the gospel. And so many of those believe, instead of putting their trust in Christ's resurrection so they can go to heaven, instead of that, they believe that God is love and the Lord forgives everyone. That's what they believe. And so hell, they think, will be an empty place and salvation is not needed because God is all loving and all forgiving. Have you ever heard any unbeliever describe God as all loving and all forgiving? God is not judgmental. God is forgiving. Now, where do they get that damnable idea from? Why do I call it a damnable idea? Because people who hold to that, that they don't have to repent and humble themselves before God, they don't have to tell God they're sorry to be forgiven, they think they're automatically forgiven, they're automatically going to heaven. Where do they get that notion from? Do they have to go to the Satanic Bible? Is that where they have to go? Do they have to go to Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler? Or the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx? No, just turn on Christian radio any day of the week and you will hear Christian leaders saying that everyone needs to be forgiven. Automatically, if anyone has done anything against you, you forgive them. Period. That's it. That's where millions who are going to hell get the foundation of their theology. From Christian TV and Christian radio and Christian books and Sunday schools and pulpits. This is a false idea that forgiveness should be automatic and go out to everyone regardless of whether they repent. Now, to talk a bit more about Don Wildman and the American Family Association. I know that I'm already in trouble just by mentioning them in anything but a glowing and positive context, because I love those guys. They're really great. They're one of the best groups in the whole country for fighting our anti-Christian culture, fighting Hollywood, fighting pornography. They're really great. And I have a deep love and respect for the Wildman family and their ministry. But that does not mean that they are inerrant, nor that their errors should not be exposed and that they should not be confronted when they make ones that are especially egregious. This past week, the AFA sent a letter. They wrote a letter to CBS, and tens of thousands of their members sent copies to the network complaining about Andy Rooney and his prejudice against Christians. Now, that's a valid thing to complain about. Amen. It was a short letter, just three brief sentences, and it was on an important topic, rebuking Andy Rooney for yet another smear of Christians being ignorant and uneducated. But if ever the Holy Spirit's voice of conviction does make it through, however muted, to Andy Rooney, if ever he begins to wonder, well, maybe God is real, let's hope and pray that he forgets about the letters that were sent to him this past week. Because all he would have to do is remember the second sentence from those letters, and that will give him all he needs to ignore God, ignore Christians, and ignore the gospel's warning of eternal separation from God. I'll read the letter, and you could obviously spot the error instantly. This is written by the AFA. Dear CBS, would you please ask Andy Rooney to stop his disparaging remarks toward Christians and accord those who strive to live their faith a little courtesy? Also, please inform Mr. Rooney that we forgive his bias against Christians. Finally, an apology from Mr. Rooney would be welcome. I don't think it quite requires laughing at him, but it's tragic. I would not be surprised to hear Andy Rooney ridicule this letter on the air. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that. By asking the AFA, why are they asking for an apology from someone they've already forgiven? If you recall, the former professional wrestler and governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, referred to churches to organize religion as, quote, a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people, unquote. Now, according to the NBC News transcript I have from October 1st, 1999, their reporter, Tom Avila, stated, Ventura did not apologize. He didn't say he is sorry about his comments, but he still expects forgiveness. And then Ventura himself was on the nightly news saying, quote, "My feeling on the religious end is that I think all the religious leaders will forgive me because I think that's what religion's about." Right? That's it. That's what religion's about. Now, he's headed to hell in a handbasket. He hates Jesus Christ. He despises Christians. But if they've made any impact on him whatsoever, it's this, that I'm forgiven no matter what I do. Basically, he was mocking religion again by pointing out that the fools that he had just called fools will forgive him for calling them fools because that's what fools do. They forgive wrongdoers even when they continue doing wrong. So I am making a commitment that I will take on this issue also of forgiveness more directly on our websites, on the radio show, with flyers, pamphlets, teaching Christians and hoping that it filters up to our leaders, that forgiveness is not cheap. And automatic forgiveness makes repentance unnecessary. Automatic forgiveness makes repentance unnecessary. And unbelievers who reject Christianity on the grounds that God is all loving and all forgiving are going to hell courtesy of our Christian community. They're going to hell, those who reject Christianity because they believe that God is all loving and all forgiving are going to hell courtesy of the Christian teachers and preachers and leaders who are so shallow they don't think beyond a cliche to give their pronouncements to the world. We got to forgive everyone automatically. Where does the Bible teach that? That angers me. Because people's lives, their souls, their eternal souls are at stake, and the church is utterly superficial. That forgiveness should be automatic, and that repentance is superfluous. It's unnecessary. When Christians forgive everyone, as followers of Christ, we send out the message that God automatically forgives everyone. And that message does send millions of people to hell.
Let me break in and interrupt my own message. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you have enjoyed this message so far, I invite you to go online to our website, kgov.com, where you can hear this again or email it to a friend, or you can subscribe to our monthly sermons. That's where you would get a CD in the mail about the middle of each month, and you'll enjoy the four sermons from the pulpit of Denver Bible Church for that month. Of course, you can also subscribe to our monthly 8 Best of Bob radio shows or our monthly Bible album, where you receive an entire album of Bible study on the different books of the Bible and different topics. So all that is available at KGov online at kgov.com or by calling us at 800-8-ENYARD. That's 800-836-9278. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.